years with Kids Church. I honestly don't know what year we started. I do know that Lila and Henry weren't even twinkles in our eyes yet. And Livia was a little rascal sitting in the front row. And Oliver and Zach and Isaac Olson, they would challenge me some days. Larissa was an angel. I can say that because she's going to be my future daughter-in-law. Yes. But it's been, and then the Melanie Dornick, I think, you were probably just heading out when we started. I think about that. But yeah, it was a lot of good times. I do appreciate everybody that helped. And I know you prayed for us, and we had a lot of support from the church. And I'm excited for what Carol and Mel, what direction they're taking the new kids' church in. And I expect you guys to give them a lot of the prayer and support that you gave me and Tam, because they got a lot of great things going on, I believe. And I'll explain later why you'll understand why I had to step down. But so with that, I'll introduce my wife. She's going to come up and start speaking. For you that don't know, she's been gone for about 40 days. No, she was not taking treatment for substance abuse. Our marriage is rock solid. She was not trying to, have a get away from me thing, but she was up there, and she's going to share a lot of things what she's learned and where we're going with the Tent Maker organization. Just a quick note about that organization, Dick Amundson and Tent Makers. We got to know them about 20 years ago. We worked with them down in the Hayfield area, and we kind of separated for a while just because of things happening, and now we got hooked up again, and I'll just leave it at that. So, Tim? Do I push this button to shut it off, or just...
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's really great being back. I missed everybody. I missed the routine of coming to church, because it is a good thing. That's what the Lord says. Don't forsake gathering together, because that your body, the church body, grows stronger. You grow stronger. We all edify each other. And now that I'm back, I can really see the truth in that. When you come into a place where you're familiar and you know people and you've prayed together and you've shared experiences and maybe tears and laughter, it's good to be back. And so I feel like, where's Waldo? Like, where was Tammy and all of this? And I want to tell you a little bit about it, first of all, before I go into my message. Wilderness North is about an hour north of Duluth. And it was called the Daniel, and the Daniel Project, and it was 40 days. Yes, it was. And it's in the wilderness. They have a beautiful lodge and a beautiful bathhouse and other facilities, but we are out in very thick trees up there. And there's rumors that there's bears and moose and wolves. I never saw any of this. I never saw any of this. And we had wonderful speakers there. We had David Cummings, the international director for Wycliffe. Everybody know what Wycliffe is? They're translators for the Bibles into many countries. Jim Anderson, his family owns the largest or one of the largest trucking companies in the nation. And he came and spoke to us about resting for the Sabbath. We had, Larry and Sharon Larson came up, and then they did a case study. It was one of those, Larry would talk about, this was my situation, and then he would leave, and then everybody would talk about how they would have resolved that situation, and then Larry would come back, and then he said how it all panned out, and then Sharon did the same thing, told this was a situation she was in, and then she left, and then they discussed how that all panned out. And then one other facilitator we had, I'm not giving everybody justice, but one particular one, David Birch. He has PhDs and seminary degrees, and he was very good. He challenged you to think. But he always started with a joke. So I'm going to attempt at one of those jokes. Like I said, we're up in Wilderness North, and there are rumors of bears. Well, this one guy went into the hardware store and said, "I hear there's bears up here." He says, "What can I get to protect myself against these bears, these black bears?" And the clerk behind the counter says, "You don't have to worry about black bears. All they eat is berries. So you don't have to worry about black bears." He says, "Oh, okay." He says, the clerk said, "It's the grizzlies you have to worry about." "Oh, grizzlies? Well, what do I do to protect myself against grizzlies?" He goes, "Well, pepper spray and bear bells. Pepper spray, in case they get close enough, you spray them, and bear bells, if you jingle it, that just kind of makes them aware that you're there, and then they scurry off." So the guy goes, "All right, I'll take the pepper spray, and I'll take the bear bells." So he's all set to go. And then the gentleman says, "Well, how do I know if I'm coming upon them?" "Well, you'll see their poop." And then the guy goes, "Oh, well, what does their poop look like?" And then the gentleman, the clerk, said, "Well, the black bear's poop looks like berries." I said, "Oh, okay." And then the gentleman said, "Well, what about the grizzly? What does their poop look like?" "Bear bells and pepper spray." Yeah, you guys are good. All right, thank you for letting me up here. I really appreciate it. I'm back in my classroom when I'm in high school. I'm about a junior or senior, and I'm listening to Mr. Wilkerson teach about English and an assignment that he was giving us. And the assignment we were supposed to do is what we would change this following year, or hope to change for this following year. And I don't know why he was sharing with us. It was just me and a couple other girls, and we're working on our assignment. And he was really talking reflectively. And he was talking about the most influential paper. This man was almost ready to retire. I enjoyed him, but he was rather arrogant and bodacious. But he was talking about this paper that really changed him. It was a paper that one of the students wrote. And the student wrote about what he was hoped to see as a change this next year. And the student went on to write about how he had just lost his dad and how what change he would like to see this year is that maybe they would have enough money to have heat in the house here in Minnesota for the winter. And he reflected on that, and he said he had had that kid in his class for how many years and did not realize what he had gone through. What an impact that kid had on him. What an impact. He said he would never forget that. That he would have him in his classroom that whole time and just really never knew his needs. When I was in college, I was about my first semester. Yeah, it was my first semester. And I had to write a paper, and it was in my communications class. And I wrote this paper, and I can't remember what I wrote it on, honestly. But what I do remember was the comment on the top of my page from the professor. Now, I went in high school. I didn't enjoy school very much. I just couldn't sit still enough for it. And my grades weren't very high. But I thought, well, I better go to college because a lot of my friends are going to college, so I better do the same thing. And the first paper I got back from this professor was great insight, really enjoyed it, A minus. I looked at my paper and I thought, so I went up to him and I said, "This was my paper. You want to look at it again?" He goes, "No." He says, "I really enjoyed your paper. It's a great insight, and you deserve that grade." I said, "Really?" I had never gotten that kind of response from a teacher before. I never missed his class, and I always got A's in that class. What an impact that teacher, that professor had on my life. The other day, we had one of Henry's friends over, and he was an amazing kid. He was so interested in everything on the farm. He would engage in every conversation. He was very sensitive and sweet, mannerly. He wanted willingness to try everything. And I said, you know what? You're a pretty amazing kid. I think he's like 13 or 14. I said, you're pretty amazing. I said, you're so mannerly. You seem so interested in everything. I just love the way you talk with us. I said, but I suppose you've been told that before, that you're pretty amazing. And this whole time, he was just looking at me like. And I said, people have told you that. He says, no. I said, nobody's told you that you're pretty amazing? He said, no. Then I got to thinking, what kind of impact am I going to have on him? That nobody's ever told him that. And it was the honest truth. That kid is just pretty amazing. And nobody's ever taken time to tell him that. So all of this is just confirming the direction that Randy and I feel led to do. So I'm up in Wilderness North, and we're in these cabins, right? I mean, we're out. And I'm in this cabin, and it's a very nice cabin. I really like it. I'm sitting at my desk. I got my little lantern on because it's dark out. And I'm reading through my journal. It's this journal right here. This journal right here. And one of the objectives that we take was Jesus following skill. And through that, we had a little portion on it on journaling. We read a chapter on it. So I challenged myself. I was going to do better in my journaling. My journaling in the past was rather sketchy. I wouldn't do it all the time. It would be, good morning, Lord. Thank you for my health. I might have written a verse, Tammy. Or another one would say, dear Lord, you're the greatest. I praise your name. Send more money, you know. That's about the extent of my journaling. But this time I thought, I was just impressed to write more dates, more names, more specifics. So I'm writing all of this out. And then as I was reviewing my journal, I go back a few days. This is about day 30 that I was reviewing. And I go back to the beginning when I started my journaling. And I was just thinking what the Lord was revealing as I was journaling. I couldn't even believe it was the same person that had written this. And that was me that had written it. And I was writing it. And then I was reviewing the objectives that we were learning throughout our course. And I was looking at my notes there. And then I was looking at my journaling and how everything was meshing together. And on how God was impressing upon me how I should be having an impact on youth in our area. We had kind of talked about if we should do, we're calling it the change program. Like, should we do this or shouldn't we? Why me, Lord? Why should I do it? And the message I was getting it from the Lord was, I'm just asking you to help. Let me do the rest. Just stay in front of me, and I will provide everything else. I couldn't believe that. I always heard this happen to other people, but I thought, as I looked through my journals, and again, and I reviewed my objectives, I could see everything coming together, that I should go forward and start this ministry for young people, where we would disciple young people for approximately 30, 32 weeks, build them up in the objectives, motivational skills, communication skills, Jesus-following skills, cleansing, learning skills, so that they too can be built up through God's love and truth. And with that, I'm going to turn it to Randy.
Okay, they got PowerPoints and stuff, but I'm kind of old-fashioned. I like to use paper and magic marker.
You need a drawing?
Yeah. Well, all right. Every great, if you know Dick Amundsen, he's a visionary and a dream maker, but he'll make things work. And what he did when we hooked up, I'm going to skip a lot of history, and I'll probably get back to that. But the short of it is, we got hooked up again this winter. Zach and Josh were looking into youth ministry and stuff, and I could see they kind of wanted some advice and help, and I knew three guys that they could probably talk to. One was Tom Stammen, another one was Dick Amundsen. Tom Stammen's with Impact Ministries. Dick Amundsen is with Tent Makers, and Bruce Knutson is with the Navigators up in the cities. So one Saturday after men's fraternity, I talked to these three guys, and they said, yeah, we'll talk to them. So I lined up Tom Stammen and Dick Amundsen one Saturday after, and we went up and saw them after men's fraternity. And I hadn't seen Dick for 20 years. Zach was running around diapers, I think, when we were seeing him. But we met up, and it was awesome. It was like we hadn't skipped a beat. And that's that relationship when you have a relationship as a brother in Christ, and that's what it was. There was no time lost. But I sat back, we had dinner, and I sat back and listened to Dick talking with Josh and Zach, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. They're just hitting it off, and they're just talking ideas, and I was just being a wallflower, and I was enjoying it. I like this. Well, we come back that day, and then I got visiting with Tam, and we were heading up young married couples, and I told Tam, you know, I think I'd enjoy if Dick would come down and do a life management meeting. And we had done this about 20 years ago, and it really gave Tam and I a new focus on life. And we talked to Dick about it, and what he called it now is breakthrough living. And that's why we did this, I guess it was in April. Some of you couples came down to it that are here. We did it down in Rochester. And it was a really neat experience, like the first time. But he started sharing some of his dreams and passions. And one thing is what Tam and I is one of these things is Dick has this passion for schools. He sees the public school as one of the biggest mission fields in the United States. And he has a heart for teachers and the kids. And so that's what we're going to try to explain here now. He's got this vision, and I'm going to try and show you the mechanics of what he wants to get done. And what he's asked Tam and I to do is help develop a prototype down in this area that he wants to take nationwide throughout the whole school system. And when he asks us that, I'm kind of thinking, well, I worked with a guy that had a lot of vision and dreams. And I thought, well, we'll try it and see what happens. So what we got at the top of the page is our area. Our church has claimed I-90, Highway 63, Highway 60, and I-35 area. Okay? 63, 90, or 60 up on top. 35. All right. And Dodd Center is right in the middle of that area. When Dick came down, you know, I told him about our area that we're claiming, and he says, oh, this could be good. And so I figured out there's about 15 to 16 school districts in this area. And there's roughly, I'm thinking, I just did a rough, tried a rough guesstimate. There's close to 2,000 kids within the 10th through 12th grades. And I don't have a clue what Rochester got because they're in that zone, but I tried adding on quite a bit with them. I'm thinking there's close to 500 school teachers, and then you got your support staff. Okay, so you got 15, 16 school districts here. I want to draw that in there. Now, out of that 15 to 16 school districts.
Okay.
Now, out of that, he wants, and one of our jobs, and probably Tam's main jobs, is to go out and talk to these schools, build relationships, and we're going to look for teachers mainly and staff, and they're going to be asked to attend a Daniel weekend. You want to draw that there? Now, a Daniel weekend is something like, for you that have went to Breakthrough Living, it's the same kind of weekend except it's designed for teachers. So we're going to ask for, and the goal is to get build relationships and ask for nominations of teachers to attend this Daniel weekend. Like Roger's already got our foot in the door with Triton, and we've been talking with the superintendent some there, and he's very open to this. Another funnel,
This particular part, the Daniel weekend, has already been done for about 4 to 5 years, this part, where they invite teachers, and the teachers are nominated by their peers that they would see, that they recognize as Christian leaders within their school district. And it's amazing. That's where some of the my other classmates, most of them were teachers that were there, and it's astounding. It is life-changing for them. I would say about 20-25% of them are ready to quit before they go to this year because of the pressures and everything that they are under, or just discouragement. And they come to the Daniel weekend and they hear people talk to them and saying, we know what you're going through, we love you, we appreciate your work, and it's just life-changing for these teachers. And one particular teacher, it's amazing. She just got the strength. She goes, maybe I could start a prayer group. And then so she went to her principal and said, can I distribute these flyers in the boxes and ask if anybody wants to join the prayer and we'll meet. And so she got permission to do that. So she stuffed everybody, all these mailboxes. And the first time there were 11 teachers within her school that got together with prayer. Then it worked its way up to 20 to 24. And she's had up to 40 within her school of these teachers coming to pray. And in at one particular one, it was a non-Christian teacher came and asked for prayer because they were dealing with a sickness. And they said, yes, we'll pray for you. And, you know, so that impact just, you know, it's huge, I think. So this particular part has been going on in Kentucky, California, and Minnesota. That's how wide they are, yes.
Now, another thing we'll be working, I call these funnels. We got all these kids and students and teachers, and you'll see where I'm going with this. So another funnel is the Young Daniels program. We'll go out and talk. We're going to look for kids that are they're out of high school to
19 to 26 years of age.
19 to 26 years of age.
And this is what Dale is going.
So this is another Daniels weekend, but it's more designed for that age group. Okay, you got Daniels weekend designed for
teachers.
Now you got Daniels weekend designed for. This yep. isn't what Dale went to.
Yep.
I'm going to this and that.
Okay.
So, okay. Now, what? Now, one other funnel is over here, and that's called Leadership Quest. And we're looking for young guys and gals in the high school age, sophomores to seniors in high school. And they will attend a week-long event up north called Leadership Quest. And we just had 7 young men go up there last week to that. So now we've found these people. Now the next thing is, okay, how on fire are they? Do they want to continue more education or not? Mr. Amundsen has designed the 40-day program. So they'll ask teachers and staff, do they want to attend this 40-day program? And this is what Tam has attended, okay? Same thing will happen here. the young Daniels will find people out of that. Do they want to attend this 40-day program? And that's where Dale now is going up as we speak. I think he's left, right? He just left now and heading up north. Okay, Leadership Quest is another event that some of our guys just got back. And this is where Tam is really going to be building up. And this is what's brand new for tent makers. This stuff is already going now, but now with Leadership Quest, we're going to start a 40, well, it's called a 40-day, 40-week, 40-week.
It's going to last approximately 30 to 32 weeks. What we're trying to encompass is the same amount of hours that we did right. In the 40 days.
In the 40 days, but we're going to take it over 40 weeks. So, and why I said 40 and she says 32, they've already got 6-7 days up at Leadership Quest, so now we're going to build off of that. So you get down here, you draw your tables, and so our goal with the change program, and this is what's brand new, and we're just getting it built. I like to call there's tables as units. I call these units, and what you'll have is like four kids sitting at a table. And they'll be coming from this funnel. And then you're going to have a young Daniel sitting at the head of each table, helping these kids and mentoring these kids. And then you've got Daniels like Tam now that have attended the Daniel program. She'll be up at this head table, and they're going to be teaching these kids all these different.
We're going to expand on the objectives that we learned up at the 40-day. So expand on the Jesus following skills, the communication skills, motivational skills, all of that to be expanded on. So it's kind of like they all come back from these camps, and it's this mountaintop experience. But what do we do with it? Because you know a lot of the time it's life-changing, but sometimes it just gets dropped. And we don't want to see that happen. We want to continue on exercising and expanding on those motivational skills at this point.
So down this area, what our plan is we're going to get this group together, hopefully, this year. And we'll probably like meet up at the Midtown Community Center and start that program. And we're going to develop that. And what will happen is we'll figure out how to do it, and then we're going to multiply it. So we got this big area with all these schools. We're going to have one chapter start, but if there's a lot of interest and this thing expands, which we expect, we'll just start these chapters up all over the area, and it can just multiply across the nation. We only want so many kids in one group because you get too many, you don't have interaction, you don't have sharing of ideas. So you have to keep it small, so it'll be a lot of multiplication going on. So that's in a nutshell what we're doing. So, yes?
My,
something to share?
Yeah. As we'd be titled directors, okay? So as directors, and what I was feeling through the Lord from my journals and all the objectives is that I am to just be in front of the Lord. And for the young Daniels that are leading and coming back, it could be any of the young Daniels or maybe any of the school teachers. We have a lot of the school teachers that were with me. They're willing to come down and speak and, you know, and help with this. We have tent makers that are coming down. I'm just like awed that these people and all these teachers, they have masters, they have PhDs, and they want to come help develop this program. And let me be the guinea pig so that they can start one up in their own area up there. So it's just really the community that was built within the 40 days is just outstanding. And they're so excited. And so what I'm feeling is just to really pour into these people so that they could have some backup, feed them, and then so that they could be a mentor to anybody that has come through Leadership Quest. And then in the meantime, is that where you're going, where we want to cultivate and bring up? Okay. And we also, were you going to do the arms? The ARMS. Okay. And then also part of this, we're going to have ARMS. And that's the acronym for Adult Role Models. So we'd have adult role models, approximately two per unit here. And these are volunteers. There are people, because we don't want to be just this little group of me and them and we're all having a good time. No, we want to get out to the community, because that's the whole focus of this, is to get back into the community by doing field assignments, interviewing people, getting them involved in people around them, interviewing elderly patients, elderly people, World War II vets, interviewing Christian businessmen. What made your business successful? What challenges did you, how did the Lord help you in that? Interview people that have successful marriages. How did the Lord help you in that? Get an interview with a state official. Getting them out there, getting them involved, not just becoming their own little nucleus. So that's, so we'd have ARMs that will help with these field assignments. And then also, just in the event that they have any questions or grievance against myself or Randy, they have somebody else in the community to turn to. So, and that would just be introducing them to that. Having, so about approximately two adult role models per unit.
Now, is your head buzzing? I hope so, because ours has been for the last 6 months. Now you know what we feel like. Can you flip that back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to share a couple things so it doesn't get lost. These 40-day programs are awesome. I got to go up and witness some of it. And it's not just meant for school teachers, and it's not just meant for this whole program we're trying to develop. It's meant to help you better your life and better yourself with your...
expanding your thinking skills, your world vision skills, your, you know, Jesus following skills, just expanding.
My plan is to take it next year so I can articulate the way she does now. So. But we really encourage you that, you know, if you want to do this, take it. It's not like you want to take it. We're not going to expect you to do all this. It's something that can better your life. I just wanted to touch that, based on that. Another thing that I wanted to touch on, like, hope your head is buzzing. And what's impressed me when Dick started talking to me about this whole idea, Tam's heart is this change program, getting that started. What's been on my heart is the teacher end, building up the teachers at these teacher weekends. It hits me, you know, with these kids, you know. And this came to my mind when I went up there for a couple days. You know, if we can encourage these teachers and get them fired up again, can you imagine what their classroom's going to be like if it's operating in the gifts of the Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit, peace, joy, love. You know, there's no federal government that can shut that down. Mm-hmm. When they have a moment of silence, and that teacher is praying for her classroom, there's nothing that can stop that. They can try all they want, but they can't. And these kids are going to see that in the classrooms, and they're going to be attracted to that. You know, what's been on my heart, I've graduated from Hayfield in 77, and I've counted up, since 77, there's been five kids that have committed suicide in the Hayfield district since then. I mean, what would happen if, you know, they had somebody that they could talk to? I mean, it's just amazing. You hear the stories of how it happened, and I'm not going to go into that. I want to, but I'm not. But it's just, and then there's the attempted suicides, and we've had a number of them, too. And that's where my heart is putting on these Daniel weekends and just encouraging the teachers and getting them fired up and getting prayer groups started. And why, I think, did you have any more you wanted to share?
Breakthrough Living.
Breakthrough Living.
Conferences.
Okay, go ahead.
And then And then also in addition, some of you went to the Breakthrough Living Conferences. Raise your hand if you participated. And so, yeah. And so we want to continue on with that there. And I already got an invitation to Kentucky and up to the city, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm going along.
And you're going along, and we'll just make it a family deal. So we already have, so the Breakthrough Living Conferences, those are the weekends that we sponsored earlier on. And so we want to continue on with that. That'll be held, those dates are coming up. The Breakthrough Living is like a life management course where you examine where you are, the as is, and where it could be, and how do we get rid of some of those roadblocks from point A to point B in that part. So that is something that we'll talk more about that later. But the big thing, it's called, they're calling it change, a change chapter. Because the whole thing is to transform lives through God's love and truth.
Yeah, what, back on this, Tent Makers has bits and pieces of this working, okay? And I think what Dick wants us to build as a prototype is put this all together as one unit and something that we can take all over and multiply it. And, So, and then I want to share something that's important to me and why we're sharing with this, and why I'm thankful that Roger let us share this with you today, is when Dick asked us about this, doing this, he wanted to start down the hayfield area. He just thought, you know what, we had going there. And I says, well, if we do it, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it in the Dodd Center area, I said, and this is why. One reason, what we had down 20 years ago is called TEAM, is Tent Makers Ecumenical Action Ministry. And what happened was we were just married. I mean, I was on the church council. I was actually president of the church council. But there, back then, the buzzword was have a youth minister in the church. You know, reach the youth. And the churches down in our area, they just, plain simple, weren't big enough to handle that salary of adding on a church minister. So I don't know who stumbled upon Dick Amundson and Tent Makers. His dad was a minister, an assistant minister down there in Hayfield, and I think that's how we all caught wind of it. But a bunch of us lay people, we all got talking, how about if us churches all shared in the cost of bringing in a tent maker? And what Dick would do is he'd take kids out of college and they would go through a similar program. Mm-hmm. It was like for 7 weeks. And he'd build them up. And part of the deal was they had to go to a church and be help with the youth ministry. So he would work with churches that would handle one tent maker. And what that student or couple was supposed to do, they were supposed to help in the church, receive some compensation from the church, but they were supposed to also go out and work in the community, like
Paul
did in the Bible. Apostle he was Paul. A tent maker, Apostle Paul. He's a tent maker. He went out and made a living, and then he preached the word of God. Well, we got that together. We got basically, I want to say, I think we got all the churches in the Hayfield School District to work together, and we brought in a couple, Lisa and Shannon Sandquist, and he worked with us for 2 years, I think it was. And they're now working with Navigators. And it was an awesome thing. They did things and they got the kids involved. And they were only obligated to stay for 2 years. And then we brought in another couple.
Seiferts.
And they were there
Karen
for
Rolls.
Two years. And then Karen Rolls.
Yep, Karen Rolls.
And the reason it worked, there was a lot of good things that came about it, but I hate to be negative, but the reason it's not working today is with all these churches working together, they had issues, you know, it's doctrine and this and that, and they just couldn't work together. And so it just kind of dissolved. But us lay people that worked with it, we're still got close bonds today. It's amazing. But So I told Dick what's important to me is we're gonna use Dodge Center as the center, I said. And let's see. I said why it's important is we got a church up here that is see, where is it? I gotta read it. I belong to a church, it's called Praise Fellowship. It's a community of like-minded believers that he has given to my family. It's very important to me. Jesus Christ is my spiritual foundation, but it's your community of believers that's also important. This ain't going to work without your support and prayers. Yeah, we're going to need finances, but that's not why we're here. We're going to covet your prayers. I have a habit of really charging ahead. And I charge ahead into the enemy, and then I get surrounded. And then I got to be busy covering my backside. Sorry about this, emotions, but... So I need... Well, good grief.
Here, dear, I got your backside here. I carry that for you.
So what I'm asking is you cover my backside. Cover my family's backside. Okay, I gotta add some of the notes. So yeah, we need prayer. I mean, when I was up there for a couple of days, we listened to some of the guys talking, and they're the teachers were already experiencing weird things going on, and we could tell it was spiritual warfare happening. And I'm just begging for you out of this church body is your prayer support. And when you hear us all talking about this, you know, you're going to hear things and just say, yeah, we know what's going on, what they're trying to do. And I just, you know, pray for our marriage. What's unique with this situation is Tam and I believe there's two types of marriages. There's an anointed one in heaven, and then there's marriages that are man-made on earth. And I believe ours is made in heaven. But she knows when we're out in the turkey barns, I need things done a certain way. And she abides by that. And when I'm in the house, she needs things done a certain way, and I abide by that. Well, now we're working really close together. So we're being challenged. Nothing serious, but iron sharpens iron. Really good, and the sparks can fly, and it's good. And it's all good. But I can just see where Satan can try and get in. And, yeah. I think that's about it.
What he's alluding to is like he uses a lot of words to process things. And he words and words and words. And I sit and think. And all the way up to the cities, I'm thinking. And he goes, are you still thinking? Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's an hour and a half, 2 hour trip, and I just thought the whole way, and he's like, he wants to process through words and everything, and I'm thinking, you know, but
that's... Yeah, 3 hour road trip, boy, we're going to get a lot talked about, discussed, and...
But at the end of the 3 hour, it was all done, wasn't it? He was very patient, didn't talk, and I was very patient, And I thought, so that's good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So, yeah, I can't think of nothing else.
So we'll take a time here. I'll allow for two questions. Any questions that anybody might have? And there's no dumb questions, because you're thinking, if one of you have a question, somebody else has the question too. Question on anything? Any questions? Okay. So our prayer is, again, we're always praying for more details, how to expand out on this. We were showing it, sharing it with a friend, and they go, "Wow, that's going to take a lot of money." And I'm going, "Why do you say that?" He goes, "Because any program like that takes a lot of money." And I said, "Well, then God will provide a lot of money for that too." So
we already know the money's out there, so it's just a matter of coming this way.
Coming it in. And what I have learned through the whole thing, I guess I'll just stay up here. If any of this fits into you, you know, some of these details, you say, "Hey, I want to get part of that vision," you know, just contact us. We love to plug you in. But if God, what I want to challenge you, if God has given you a vision, not even of this or something else, go for it. Go for it. Because you just grow when you're challenged like that, and you're pressing in to what God has for you, and that just establishes a great relationship with the Lord when you just press into something new. All right.
I know one thing about this church being our spiritual, our center, I wanted to lead, you know, this is one reason I had to resign from Kids Church. When we get involved in this, our spiritual gas tanks are going to be empty. And when we come to church on Sunday, we want to get refilled. And you guys don't want people with spiritual empty gas tanks teaching your kids. So I know Carol and Mel will be full of the Holy Spirit when they're teaching these kids, and it'll be awesome. And please don't think every time I come up and talk to you, I'm going to be asking for money or asking you to get involved in this. I'm not going to, because Sundays is also a day of rest, and I'm not going to talk business, you know, every Sunday. I mean, I want to visit with you guys and just talk about your concerns and what's going on in your life. And, you know, we're excited about this. Dick mentioned one time, you know, he's good with word pictures. He says, "We're like a tornado, and people see us come, and they don't want to get sucked up in our tornado." So they kind of back off, but we're going to watch that. So, all right. Well, thank you for coming today.
Wait.
Oh, question.
All right. Ooh, this is good. Good stuff. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Susan. Oh, look at this. It's like a family reunion. Seriously, I just missed all of this.
Just confess you are God. You have brought us, all of us together as family. We are all the body of Christ. So right now we come along with our brother and our sister. We thank you for what you're doing, because when you begin something, you complete it. We thank you that you're going to impart wisdom, direction, provision, and that their labor will be fruitful. Father, I stand here because a high school teacher prayed for my salvation. So I thank you, God, that you're going to use this time. We do cover them, Lord, in your prayer. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us and show us individually when there's something that we can do to come alongside them, to pray for them, to encourage them, whatever, Lord, because we want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I thank you for the vision you've given Tammy and Mary. I just thank you for the excitement and enthusiasm you placed in their hearts, and I ask that you would keep that flame fan, Father, that you would help them in times when it's when it's diminished and we fan it again, Father. I just thank you for the lives that they will touch, for the next generation that they will touch, and for the future of this country, that they will, the impact that they will have on that, Father. And then, as a result, the impact in your kingdom, Father. We just thank you for the impact they will have on all.